Hey everyone, this is the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church become highly effective influencers. I'm your host, Ronnie Rothy. Joining me today is our equipping pastor, Nick Petrick. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, Ronnie. Glad to be here.
Well, you know, this Relevant Leader Monthly, leaders, it's for you. The leaders are relevant. You want to be a better, more effective leader. It's why you're tuning in, and I just want to start off by saying I'm just really, really proud of you for just investing in yourself as a leader. I'm really excited about the Relevant Leader Monthly today, but before we kind of get into the meat of this, I just want to talk, Nick, just a little bit about leadership as a whole. And let me just ask you, and everyone can answer this in their own mind, Nick, because I asked you this question, but what do you think a leader's purpose is? Like, if you were to narrow that down, like, what's a leader's purpose?
Yeah, Ronnie, there are tons of definitions of leadership and of leaders out there. Most people don't know this about me, but I actually spent 4 years in undergrad studying leadership. My degree is in management organizational leadership, and then I actually got my master's in leadership. And
So you're like an expert leader.
Well, I've read a lot of books on leadership. Doesn't mean I'm a good leader, but I know I have read a ton and seen a lot of different definitions. Truth is, I think people can make a leader out to what they want. But when we really talk about it, when we think about it as leaders of Relevant, a leader's overall purpose is to guide a group or a team to a predetermined goal, getting people from where they are now to where we want them to be. Managers are totally different than leaders. Managers keep things going.
Yeah.
Leaders take people from where they are to where they go.
Yeah, somewhere better. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so leaders lead productive teams or groups, not just teams or groups. I always think of something I heard John Maxwell say a long time ago, and he said, if you want to know if you are a leader or not, look behind you. Are people following you? You have people behind you because you're moving, because you're going in a direction. You're moving people towards a predetermined goal. And the second part of that is that there's a goal. If there's no goal, there's no plan, you'll just end up where you are or where your outside circumstances lead you to be. But leaders, they do a lot, and they're the ones who get the credit, or they're the ones who get the blame for where things go. And so really, you know, leaders are really important because they're productive. Their purpose is to move things from where they are to where they're going.
Yeah. If I, you know, when I think of this, a leader's purpose, and you know this, Nick, and leaders, you guys know this, I always narrow it down to one word, and that word is influence. Like, that's really the purpose of influence is and influence to what? Well, a leader influences a team of people, a group of people, influences toward winning. You got to lead to win, right? Bottom line, if you're not leading, you can't win. If you're not winning, you aren't leading. And if you're not winning, leadership is just pointless. The only meaningful measure for a leader is whether a team or group succeeds or fails. For all the definition of leaders, there are only really two that matter: effective and ineffective. Effective leaders lead successful teams, successful groups that accomplish their mission and win. Ineffective leaders do not. And Nick, you alluded to this answer already, but for you, like, why do you think good leadership is so important?
Yeah, Ronnie, you say it all the time. Jesus is the hope of the world. His church is his local agents of hope, and great leaders are the hope of the church. You know, it's crazy. God could have chosen any way that he wanted to accomplish his mission and restore the broken relationships that we all have with him. But God chose to send Jesus, and he chose to use us, you and me, the leaders of Relevant, to accomplish his mission. Last summer, I went with the high school students to YU camp, and a bunch of us went to a breakout session called Why the Church is Essential. Honestly, I left that session upset. The speaker told about her experience with the church and how great it was, and basically left it like, so that's what we need to do for others. We need to give them a great experience. That's why the church is essential. And I left upset because I was with about a dozen of high school students who honestly, in my opinion, they didn't hear the real reason why the church is essential. I asked our students, do you know why the church is essential? They said they still weren't sure. And I told them, I'm sure. I know exactly why the church is essential. I let them squirm a little bit with the statement that I said, but I said, the church is essential because Jesus is not physically here on earth anymore. I paused. I let them wonder, like, why does that matter? What is that? Like, how is that the reason why the church is essential? Now, of course, Jesus left his spirit to guide us, but Jesus chose us. He chose his church to carry out his mission. That's the means that he gave us to accomplish his mission is us. And, you know, if it's true what you always say, Ronnie, which I believe it is, that people's experience of the church, whether good or bad, are usually because of a leader, then it means that Jesus' mission really does hinge on us as leaders.
Yeah, man. Nick, that's just so good. I mean, it is so true. I think leadership is the single greatest reason behind the success of any team, any group, any church, any organization, any company. You just cannot win without good leadership. No mission can be accomplished without good leadership because people need led. The greatest reason behind the success of any team, any group is good leadership. And as you said, great leaders, they really are the hope of our church, but great leaders are the hope of any team as well within our church, the hope of any group within our church. No organization, no team, no church, no group has ever won without a great leader leading the way.
Yeah. So Ronnie, this year, you know, our theme as a church is extreme ownership. Just like any theme, different people can interpret that differently. Different people can say, well, I take extreme ownership by doing this. Other people can say, well, to me, extreme ownership is that. But what do we mean as a church when we talk about extreme ownership?
Yeah, so this was so huge for us this year. I really do believe for us to accomplish the visions God's put on our heart, to achieve the mission he's called us to, it's going to require having a culture of extreme ownership. And what I believe the definition is taking full responsibility for everything you are responsible for and the impacts the mission. Let me say it again, taking full responsibility for everything that you as a leader, that I as a leader am responsible for, and that impacts our overall mission. Extreme ownership is the principle, it's a mindset that provides the foundation for the fundamental building blocks of great leadership. Extreme ownership is really the fundamental core of what constitutes an effective leader. The best leaders, they don't just take responsibility for what they're responsible for. They take extreme ownership of everything they're responsible for and everything that impacts the mission of what they're leading. Effective leaders that lead successful, high-performing teams or groups, they exhibit extreme ownership. Anything else is simply ineffective, bad leadership. So that's why, man, we are really focusing on creating a culture of extreme ownership today. And today, Nick, I actually want to talk about what it looks like to take extreme ownership when things go wrong as leaders, because eventually things go wrong. No matter what you're leading, no matter a team, a group, your family, a ministry, sooner or later, you will experience failures, setbacks, and losses. Now, I don't think this means that we're bad leaders. It just experiencing that doesn't make us bad leaders. What we do in those moments determine if we are highly effective influencers or if we're bad leaders. When we experience failure, when we experience setback, when we experience losses, great leaders take extreme ownership in those moments. Ineffective leaders will do the opposite. And the opposite of extreme ownership, when we experience failures and setbacks and losses, whether that's in our T-Life groups or the teams that we lead or the ministries that we're a part of, the opposite of extreme ownership in those moments is casting blame, making excuses, or quitting. This is the opposite of extreme ownership because it's not taking full responsibility. And Nick, listen, we've done this before. I've done this before. We've seen this happen 1,000 times. Nick, what about you? I mean, have you ever seen it happen? Have you ever, you know, cast blame and in those moments or seen it happen, you know, throughout our church?
Yeah. So Ronnie, I think we all can come up with lots of examples of people casting blame, making excuses. Honestly, I've always called it shifting blame because it's basically like, I want to slowly make it look like it's not me, but it's somebody else. One of the simplest ways that I have seen this actually is in my own life. Ronnie, you know me. You know that one of my biggest issues is getting to meetings in the morning on time.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I, for whatever reason, I have the ability to get to every meeting 1 minute late.
And you know that makes me super happy.
Yes, that's one of Ronnie's favorite things about me. But, you know, what I do is I love to shift, cast that blame on the reasons why I was late. I like to make up excuses and I like to think, and to me, they're real. They're not things that I'm like, oh, I can trick Ronnie into thinking this. But the reality is, you know, every morning I have my kids that I have to, you know, get dressed. I have to get their teeth brushed. I have to get them ready for school, get them out the door. And so for me, it's like, well, my kids were in the way. My kids were the reason why I had so much to do. Well, in that, the reality is every morning I have the same number of kids. Every morning they have to, all of them have to get dressed. All of them have to brush their teeth. All of them have to eat breakfast. And I have a choice what breakfast I make for them. I have a choice the things that I do. You know, honestly, I think it's funny, but I, you know, I love to look at our top five talent themes, and my number one theme is Maximizer, and I love to think of it in a good light and kind of say like, well, the truth is I'm a maximizer, so I was maximizing every minute of the morning, getting everything that I could done. But the truth is I'm making choices. I'm making choices to put other things that I know the impact that they have. I know how long it takes for me to get my kids in the, you know, ready in the morning, and I could easily wake them up 15 minutes earlier.
Yep.
I also know where this isn't like just black and white, really easy. I also know the impact of waking my kids up 15 minutes earlier and how grumpy they're going to be. So it is there. I mean, obviously there is some difficulty in it, but at the same time, you know, it's definitely a choice that I make. It's something that I do that instead of me saying, well, I chose this, I tend to look at it like, well, the traffic was bad. This morning, man, there was so many cars taking their kids to school. Well, I, you know, every morning those parents are taking their kids to school.
Yep. Yep. You know, it's just so easy to, when we experience failure, setback, losses in our leadership and our groups and our teams, to, it's so much easier to cast blame or to make excuses than take extreme ownership. And there are some serious negative outcomes of that. Nick, what are some outcomes of casting blame or making excuses in those times of failure, setback, losses in our leadership with our teams and our group? What are some of those outcomes that you think happen?
Yeah. So honestly, Ronnie, I think the biggest outcome is that we don't move forward.
Yeah.
We become okay with where we're at, where we are. You know, effective leaders, you know, they move their groups, their teams forward.
Yep.
And for us, you know, if we're okay casting blame, if we're okay making excuses, we're going to end up staying right where we are. We're going to be managers more than leaders.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I just said, you know, it's all good, ineffective or effective. Like those are the two definitions of leadership. Are we winning? Are we losing? And no way possible can we win and we be effective leaders when we cast blame and make excuses. We're going to experience those failures and setbacks and losses. Guys, we all are in our teams and in our groups. But when we choose to cast blame or make excuses in those moments, we lose trust from the people that we're leading. Trust gets broken because they can't trust that we are actually leading this thing effectively because we're blaming everyone else, we're making excuses, we're not taking ownership. And when we lose that trust as leaders, we lose credibility. And, you know, and once you lose credibility as a leader, you will become completely ineffective in every single thing that you do. Furthermore, Nick, and you've seen this and we've all seen this. As soon as we start casting blame and making excuses in the midst of those setbacks or failures, it will begin to create, it begins to create that culture in our team and in our group. And all of a sudden, everyone else starts casting blame, making excuses. Therefore, we never succeed. We never succeed, you know, in overcoming those problems and overcoming those failures, because instead of trying to come up with a solution, we're more focused on making excuses. We're more focused on casting blame. And here's the reality. The leader, we as leaders, we're responsible for everything. We're responsible for everything in our team, everything in our group. I'm responsible for every single thing in our church and our organization. So as leaders, we've got to take complete ownership of everything that goes wrong. That's what a great leader does, even if it means getting removed from that leadership position. I honestly think the best thing we can do as leaders when we experience failures and setbacks in our groups and in our teams is to correctly answer the question, whose fault is it? And a great leader quickly answers that question by stating, and this is hard, guys, it's my fault. Maybe the three hardest words to say, it's my fault. Ah, my group, it isn't going well right now. My T-Life group, it just isn't going right now. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to make excuses. It's my fault. Ah, the team didn't do their job. Yeah, and right now, I'm not going to blame them. I'm not going to make excuses for why it didn't happen. You know, at the end of the day, it's my fault. That person I'm leading, they didn't do what they are responsible for doing. I can make excuses right now. I can blame them right now, but I need to own this. Three words. It's my fault. And Nick, you can imagine how powerful this would be in marriage, right? If two people in a marriage took extreme ownership when they're experiencing failures and setbacks in our marriage, instead of going, it's your fault, and casting blame and making excuses, and instead saying, it's my fault. Now, extreme ownership, it's so much more than not blaming. It's more than just taking responsibility for what goes wrong. I actually think by saying it's my fault in those moments, it's going, and I am going to vow to not let this happen again. I'm going to vow to not let this happen again by analyzing the problem, by implementing lessons learned, and by starting to execute a winning plan. And you can't do that if you're casting blame. You can't do that if you're making excuses. When we cast blame, we never make the necessary adjustments to fix the problems, because we never find the solution. Therefore, the group that we're leading, the team that we're leading, the ministry that we're leading, the marriage that we're a part of, it just never succeeds. It never will. It never wins. All the responsibility for the success and the failure of everything that we lead as leaders, it rests with us as the leader. As leaders, we've got to own everything. Listen, there's no one to blame. As leaders, we've got to acknowledge mistakes. We've got to admit failures and take extreme ownership of them, because that's the only way to develop a plan to win. You know, I think about, you know, everyone's familiar with Sunday morning. And there's so much that goes into pulling off a winning Sunday morning, a winning Sunday gathering. And, you know, if the lights aren't working right and the band stinks, and, you know, it's easy for Matt Paddock, who oversees all this, to look at Matt, look at Misty, look at whoever's running the camera, look at whoever's singing and going, it's their fault, or, you know, make a thousand excuses why. And at the end of the day, Matt has to look at himself and goes, whose fault is it? Ultimately, it's my fault. And then with me being the leader of, the primary leader of Roma, I've got to look at myself and go, you know whose fault it is? It's not ultimately Matt's fault. It's ultimately my fault. And now what can I do to ensure this doesn't happen again? Matt's got to ask the same question. What can I do to ensure this doesn't happen again? And guys, taking extreme ownership in this way, it is so important, and it requires so much of us. Nick, you know this as a leader. So let me just ask you. I mean, I see you every day trying hard to take extreme ownership in your leadership. But for you, what do you think taking extreme ownership when things go wrong or failure happens, what do you think it requires of us as leaders? What does it require of you?
Yeah, honestly, Ronnie, the word that comes to my mind when you ask me that question is the word responsibility. You know, you already said definition, it's taking full responsibility, really, that everything that we're responsible for. You know, you and I, we've been in ministry for a long time. You know, you've gone through the process of planting Relevant. You've had to serve on a lot of different teams. You know, before I was at Relevant, I was an associate pastor, and my job description was literally to do everything that the lead pastor didn't do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've done children's ministry, we've done guest services, different things like that. And so, you know, we've worked with volunteers. When you think about, you know, if you're a group leader, if you're a team leader, the truth is the people you're leading are volunteers. And with volunteers, they can choose, am I going to show up today or not? I think about, you know, even like some of the teams that I currently serve on, like the Next Steps team, you know, everybody who's serving on that team has a choice. Am I going to show up today or not? And there's days where people just choose not to show up. And the reality is, it's easy for me to say, well, the reason we can't do what we want to do is because of them. I think about when I was leading Youth United, and it was easy for me to think, this ministry runs on our adult volunteers. And so if we can't do the things we want to do, probably more of what I want to do, you know, I would always think, well, it's because we don't have the right volunteers. We don't have enough volunteers. We don't have whatever. And, you know, honestly, all that is casting blame. It's not taking the responsibility and knowing that the reality is, as the leader, I'm the one who has the responsibility.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, what does it require? Knowing that it's your responsibility, no one else's. That's so good. I think one thing it requires, and this, you guys, this is so hard. The reason taking extreme ownership and things go wrong is so hard is because I believe that it requires an extraordinary amount of humility and courage. It mandates that we set our ego aside, that we accept the word you used, responsibility for failures. We got to attack weaknesses, and then we just got to consistently work to, you know, build a better, more effective team or group. And that's hard. It is so hard to set our ego aside and have the courage enough to be humble, but it's an absolute necessity we do in order to learn, to grow as a leader, and, you know, and to improve our team performance, which, you know, doing this in these moments, the outcomes, taking extreme ownership during, you know, when we experience failures and setbacks, the outcomes are so positive when we do. Nick, what are some of the outcomes of taking extreme ownership as leaders when things go wrong? What are some of the positive outcomes?
Yeah, so we said earlier that, you know, our purpose as leaders is to guide our group or our team to a predetermined goal. One of the main outcomes I see is that we're moving forward.
Yep.
Things are happening. We're not staying where we're at. It gets a little fuzzy when we talk about results, but if we're not effective, if we're not moving our group forward, then we're not taking extreme ownership.
Yeah, well, and it's one of the outcomes, because when you take extreme ownership in those moments versus casting blame, you're actually starting to figure out what needs to happen to move it forward, as opposed to all your attention just making excuses. I think, you know, one of the huge outcomes, positive outcomes of taking extreme ownership when things go wrong as leaders is you earn trust from those whom you're leading. They realize that, like, hey, because no one's looking for a perfect leader. They're looking for real, authentic leaders, humble leaders. And so when you take extreme ownership, just go, it's my fault. That doesn't mean the people you're leading lose respect for you. It means that they grow respect for you. They grow in their trust of you. And this will cascade down. It'll start to create extreme ownership with the people on your team. The only way the people in your team or your group will ever take extreme ownership and stop casting blame and stop making excuses is by us as leaders take extreme ownership first. And guys, when this happens, people will want to follow you more. They just will want to follow you more, not because you know what you're doing more. It's because they trust you. They trust that you are going, man, this person is not faking it. This person isn't blaming me. They are truly taking full responsibility for everything that they're responsible for.
Yeah, that's great, Ronnie. So, you know, all this information is really great information, but, you know, the question is, what do we do? Practically, what does it look like? What next steps should we take as leaders to have extreme ownership in our group or in our team?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy. I think I would narrow it down to four words, you know, in our teams and in our groups and what we're leading. It's like when we experience failure, setbacks, you know, and what we're doing, I think there's four words to take extreme ownership: identify, assess, confess, and plan. First word is identify. I would encourage all of us as leaders right now to identify something that is going wrong in our team or in our group. Because I guarantee I can think of 1,000 things in what I lead that is going wrong, that experiencing failure, setback. So right now, like, you know, as you go back and listen to this podcast or when you get off it, I would just encourage you, what is one thing that is going wrong right now? What's one thing that we're experiencing as a setback right now? Identify that. Secondly, then, assess. Assess if you've been blaming anyone or if you've been making excuses. Really ask yourself, who am I blaming for this? Because chances are you might be blaming someone. What excuses maybe have I been making for that failure? What excuses have I been making for that setback? So you identify what's going wrong. You assess where have you been blaming or where you've been making excuses. And then third, you confess. You start confessing both to yourself and to the people on your team and maybe those people you've been blaming or the people who've been hearing you make excuses. The three words, it's my fault. Now, that's all great. But you can't stop there. You got to do the fourth thing: identify, assess, confess, and then plan. Plan to execute. Analyze how to overcome that problem. Analyze how to overcome that setback. Analyze what you could do to win. And then start making the plan. And don't just make the plan. Go, man, I got to take full responsibility. I got to take extreme ownership of this and begin executing the plan. Listen, when we do this, when we identify, assess, confess, and plan, we will gain an enormous amount of trust, an enormous amount of respect from the people that we're leading and from the people who are leading us. I tell you, basically everyone who leads at Relevant, I'm leading on some level, but you know, the directors that I are my direct reports, when they are experiencing failures and setbacks, I don't lose respect for them as leaders. I lose respect for them as leaders if they start making excuses. When they experience failures and setbacks and they identify it, they assess it, they confess, and they come to me with their plan, my trust for them grows exponentially. When we start doing this as leaders, I'm telling you, we will start winning. You start doing this as a leader, your group will start winning more. You start doing this as a team leader, your team will start winning more, because you can start to address the real problems. So Nick, as we wrap this conversation up today, any final thoughts?
Yeah, really my only other thought is what has really helped me over the years is to think, if I don't do it, who will? Going back to that word responsibility, you know, what I tend to do personally is I think, oh, somebody else will cover it. And, you know, for me to take responsibility, for me to say, you know, if I don't do it, I can't expect anybody else to do it. You know, that's really helped me in terms of taking extreme ownership.
Yeah, that's good, man. You know, kind of my final thought is it's okay to experience failure. Guys, as leaders, if you ain't failing, you probably ain't trying. It's just never okay to blame or make excuses. Failure is not a failure if we learn from it. But we can't learn from it if we don't take extreme ownership, if we're casting blame and making excuses. So, leaders, let's take extreme ownership. Let's take extreme ownership of our teams and our groups, because we are the hope of our church. Hey, make sure you subscribe on the platform you're listening to the Relevant Leader Monthly, so you can get it every month automatically. Nick, It was good hanging with you this month. I hope this was helpful for you. It was helpful for me, and I hope it was helpful for our leaders. Guys, God bless you, and we'll talk to you next month.